Yeah, now start. Question from Praveen Prabhu.
Is the theological interpretation of God, Jiva, and this phenomenal world and the relationship between them important for Gaudiya Vaishnavas? And we also know that by following any one of the four bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas, one can go back to Godhead. So, but if we see their theological interpretation of these things and regarding the absolute truth is different. So what is it that a practicing Vaishnava should concentrate upon? And in what spirit do we take these four doctrines and understand the ultimate reality?
Answer. In the 11th canto, in the Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna is describing Sankhya to Uddhava. And there he describes that different thinkers analyze the material world in different numbers of elements. For example, 24 elements, 8 elements, 16 elements, 14 elements, 18 elements. And over there, Lord Krishna says, and Vishwanatha Thakur elaborates in his commentary, that because all these thinkers are ultimately aiming towards transcendence, aiming towards Krishna, and are analyzing the material world with that purpose. So, Krishna says, I am pleased with their intellectual zeal. So, and I appreciate the variety in the modes of analysis. So, there the important thing is not the specifics of the way the material world is analyzed. That means normally we know that 24 elements there are, say the Pancha Mahabhuta and everything like that. But sometimes, say the five sense objects and some things may get conflated together, mixed together, and some shorter number of elements may come up. And Krishna appreciates this variety. Krishna doesn't try to monopolize or standardize everything into one version. He says he appreciates that they are all trying to reach him. And accordingly, he is pleased by that. So same way, the primary purpose of devotional service is to develop love for Krishna. And the relationship of Krishna with the material world is ultimately meant for us as a tool to develop our love for Krishna. So, in the Bhagavatam itself, contemplation on matter as a tool to transcendental contemplation is done in three ways. Second canto through the Virata Rupa, third canto through the Sankhya analysis, and fifth canto through the cosmology. Now, if we look at the starting and the ending of these sections, it is told that by this sort of analysis, the mind will become fixed on the Supreme Lord. And if we look further at the descriptions of the creation, even if you look at the Virata Rupa that is given in the second canto, and that is reiterated elsewhere in the various cantos in the prayers of the various devotees, you'll find that the details differ. For example, sometimes the neck of the universal book may be compared to one thing, something else may be compared to another thing. Similarly, the sequence of creation within cosmology, sometimes it may be slightly different, sometimes here, sometimes there. And the acharyas describe this, that it is not that Brahmaji creates everything every time in exactly the same way. So the differences refer to different ways in which the creation takes place. So, here also, the Bhagavatam doesn't try to give a absolutely consistent understanding of material reality. The focus ultimately is on using material reality as a tool towards transcendence. So, the various acharyas from the four sampradayas who have given the particular ways of describing the relationship between Lord Vishnu and his energies. For example, the Sri Sampradaya, they have the concept that Vishnu is like the soul, and both matter and spirit, soul and matter are his body. So they say that so the body changes but the soul doesn't change. Similarly, matter and spirit, they go undergo change, but the absolute truth doesn't change. So Madhvacharya gives a different explanation in terms of, he focuses more on the Bheda aspect. But the principle over here is that they all conclude with pure devotion to Lord Vishnu. So these different sampradayas are like universities, and different universities may have slightly different methods of study. For example, say if you want to learn English, now if we learn English in Harvard and if we learn English in Oxford, Harvard teaches American English, Oxford teaches British English. So there are some, if we go into the technical finesses, integrities, we'll find that there are substantial differences where to put a comma, how to construct sentences. But ultimately the end result is to learn the language. That is the goal, and that is what is achieved either way. So the common goal for all sampradayas is to develop love for Krishna. But how to analyze the material world so that one can focus on the Supreme Lord, that will vary from sampradaya to sampradaya. And we need to understand that if we are going to practice Krishna consciousness in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, then it is like we enroll in a particular university. So if I have to pass in that university, I have to understand the system of that university, and I have to excel in that system. So similarly, we need to understand our tradition's explanation of the relationship with the material world, of the material world with Krishna, and of the various elements with Krishna, from our tradition's point of view, quite scrupulously. Now naturally, within every tradition, there will be some thinkers who will hold the idea that tradition's understanding is the highest. And in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas will believe that this tradition's understanding of the relationship of the absolute truth and its energies is the highest. So now, if somebody wants, we could do a detailed philosophical analysis, comparatively speaking, of the various traditions' understanding of the absolute truth, and show how our tradition's understanding is the highest. But if this sort of analysis increases our pride in thinking that we are greater than Sri Vaishnavas or we are greater than Madhva Vaishnavas or whatever, then we are defeating the purpose of ultimately developing humility by which you can develop love for Krishna, by which you can attract Krishna. On the other hand, if we do this study so that we can bring to the world the glory of the revelation that Lord Chaitanya has given, and that the Goswamis and the great Acharyas in this particular tradition have systematized, with that motive of service, if somebody does that, that will be a valuable contribution to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But this sort of intricate comparative analysis will be reserved for a few authors, for a few intellectuals, and it is not necessary. But in general, if you understand the basic principles of Krishna consciousness and practice those, we can make spiritual advancement and go back to Godhead. So it is primarily love for Krishna that we have to develop. And the analysis of Krishna with the material world is primarily important so that we become intellectually convinced that actually Krishna is the ultimate absolute truth. And then we fix the mind on him. Siddhanta baliya chitte na kare alas, iha haite Krishna lage sudrodha manas. Saying that this is Siddhanta, don't become lazy, Krishna's Guru is saying, because by this your mind will become fixed on Krishna. So if we look at this verse, its internal focus is on that don't be lazy about studying philosophy. But if we look at its internal progression, it is saying that by philosophical analysis, the mind will become fixed on Krishna. So the purpose of philosophy is to increase our devotion to Krishna. So now, there are many devotees who will not be intellectuals, and they may understand the whole philosophy. They may not understand the whole philosophy, or significant amounts of the philosophy also. But if they are practicing devotional service, they are committed to the principle of that I am the servant of Krishna, and they develop love for Krishna, then do we think that just the lack of intellectual understanding of philosophy will be taken as a guarantee for blocking their entry into the kingdom of God? Not at all. So, the whole principle of bhakti is that we use all that we have in Krishna service. So if we have intelligence, then we use the intelligence to understand the philosophy. And similarly, in other traditions, the scholars who are there in that tradition may also use their intelligence to present their philosophy accordingly. So we have to clearly understand that the technicalities of the absolute truth's relationship with his energies is ultimately meant to help us develop love for the absolute truth. And if we keep that focus in mind, then we will not be distracted by other things. So for us in this tradition, the study is important, but at the same time we shouldn't absolutize or universalize it in a way that alienates or minimizes other traditions, especially if those traditions are also talking about love of God and also enabling us to develop love of God, enabling their practitioners to develop love of God. So if we keep this carefully, the balance in mind. So for us, for our personal practice, we need to be committed. We need to be focused on our tradition. But at the same time, just to be committed doesn't mean that we have to become fanatical towards other traditions.